Hey, good morning and welcome again to Life Point Church. You guys glad to be here so far? What a great day. Amen. Hey, if you're a guest with us today, we want to say a big welcome to you. Thanks for joining us. My name is Mike Burnett. I get to serve here as lead pastor, and what an honor to greet all of you. Also, if you're joining us online or through our app or our recordings, any way that you got here, we're just so thankful to be in one church in many places. Thank you for joining us online. In fact, if you want, just tell us where you're watching from, and we'd love to give you a shout out online as well today. And if you want, while you're sitting in the room, you can share our service through our Facebook Live. Just share it with others and say, hey, join me at Life Point today. Don't forget again, next Sunday is Easter Sunday, and Saturday night we'll be having services for our Dream Team, and so all of our folks that serve every weekend on our volunteer team, we call our Dream Team, Saturday night come at 5:30, and we got a service for you, and as that grows, we may add a second service then, and then we're doing four services on Easter Sunday, and please go on our website and just RSVP. Of course, you can get in without doing that, but it just helps us know where the services are filling up and where we have room in other services as well. And invite people like crazy this week. This is the week to get people at church. Next Sunday is our baptism Sunday. We'll have everything people need. Don't worry about that. If you want to be baptized, come and get baptized on Easter. What a great day to be baptized, right, everybody? Up from the grave, he arose, and we come up out of that water, and it is very much a part of the baptism theology. All right, today we are in Romans chapter 5, and we're wrapping up this chapter with a sermon I've called An Unfair Exchange, Thank God. Romans chapter 5, An Unfair Exchange, Thank God. You should have notes in your worship guide as well as on our app. We have notes there for you as well. Fairness is an interesting concept, right? How many of you have ever heard somebody say, it's not fair? How many of you have ever said, it's not fair? How many of you roll your eyes when others say it's not fair, yet you say it's not fair? And you don't roll your eyes at that. Fairness is an interesting concept. Anybody ever been on the good side of fairness, right? Where things were maybe unfair for others, but you benefited from the unfairness? Or anybody been on the wrong side of unfairness, right? Especially if you're a younger sibling, you've probably felt that before. I think fairness is an interesting concept, but the truth is, life isn't fair. Business isn't fair. Work's not fair. Finances aren't fair. Parenting isn't fair. My wife and I have decided that the idea of fairness is a broken concept. In fact, in our family, our girls use that language, and that, you know, something will happen for one and not the other, whether it's a good thing or a discipline even, right? Right? One kid's disciplined one way and the other one's disciplined another because they're different, right? Like one kid laughs at spankings and the other one can't wait for quiet time, you know, like go to timeout. Sweet, I'm out of here, you know, like, because they're different. And our kids will use statements like this. They'll go, but Dad... That's how they talk when I retell it. That's not how they really talk. They go, Dad, that's not fair. And we go, hey, stop. We don't say that in our home. Andy Stanley said it like this. Fairness died in the Garden of Eden. When sin entered in, fairness and equity died. There's no such thing. Fairness is a broken concept. Here's a great example of unfairness that makes sense, right? In our family, our kids are, we have four daughters. They're almost 11, 9, 6, and 3.5. And my oldest daughter is big enough, tall enough, and heavy enough to sit in the front seat of a vehicle. But my baby, Brooklyn, the baby, she has to sit in the NASCAR harness, right? Like shoulder straps, five-point harness with a helmet. Give her a little baby steering wheel. Like Maggie on The Simpsons. Anyway, we don't do that. But we should. That'd be fun. And so sometimes Brooklyn, if we get in the car and we haven't turned the vehicle on yet or haven't rolled out, she'll want to jump in the front seat. And we go, no, you can't sit in the front seat. She'll say, but Lucy can. That's not fair. It's like, yeah, because she's bigger and able, and we're going to treat her in a way different than you simply because you're different. And can I just say, parents, don't parent your children the same. Parent them well based on how they are. God, hey, can I just say this too? One of the coolest things about the nature of God, something you've probably never considered, God's not fair. Praise God, he's not fair. Could you imagine if God treated you the way he treated some of those people in the Bible? When you did the very same stuff, David and Bathsheba, anybody in this room done that? You know, like, how about Sodom and Gomorrah? Anybody glad God doesn't do to us what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah? Remember Ananias and Sapphira? That was in that New Testament book. They came to church and lied about the offering. Whoo, Lord, help me, Jesus. Like, I'm so glad God's not fair. It's actually one of the greatest parts of his nature towards us. That he's not fair. The parable of the talents, Matthew chapter? No. 25. The Holy Spirit reminded me. The Holy Spirit's name is Randy. Matthew 25, parable of the talents. Jesus tells a story about a landowner who goes out and he leaves his land and he doles out his property to three of his servants. And it says it like this. Jesus said, the master gives to the first guy, it says it like this. He gave to each according to what he saw their ability was. Isn't God so good that he'll won't let you handle more than he knows you can handle, and he'll also let you handle what he knows you can handle. So the master leaves and gives to the first guy, he gives him five talents. You know what a talent is? It's like 22 years salary. Anybody interested in just getting one? Like half a talent, Lord, give him. This first guy got five talents because the master knew what he could handle. And then he goes to the second guy and he goes, I'm gonna give you two talents. That's 44 years of salary. Not too shabby. And then he comes to the third guy and he goes, I'm gonna give you one talent, 22 years of pay. And you go manage this and handle this. Now watch what happens. The first guy doubles it, second guy doubles it. Third guy says, that's not fair. You gave them more than you gave me. And then he said this, you're gonna come collect on work that I put into this money that you're not even working on. So I just buried it in the ground because it ain't fair. And you know what the master said? Well done, wicked. Because he went into fairness doctrine. He went into this idea of equity. Listen, fairness is a broken concept. Don't parent your kids fairly. Parent them well. God doesn't treat us fairly. He treats us with love and tenderness. And he knows what you can handle. He knows how you're wired. He knows how you're built. He knows your issues. And he will treat you according to you. Thank God he doesn't treat us according to how he treats others. I don't want God treating me like he treats some of you. And I can't handle the way God to treat me the way God's blessed some of you. I can't handle that blessing. You ever think about that? So has anybody ever heard a sermon on the unfairness of God? Let me tell you how unfair God is. It's one of the greatest parts of who he is. I don't believe in fairness, but one of the glorious parts of God's activity towards us is he's not fair. Let me tell you where he's not fair. He doesn't give you what you deserve. Every time you blow it, God doesn't make you pay for it. Every time you make mistakes, God actually gives you something better than what you deserve. He gives you mercy. He gives you forgiveness. And then he goes, I'm going to give you my spirit so you don't have to do that again. That's not fair. Fairness is what every film shows us, the idea of fairness, right? Some guy has a colossal issue in the beginning, and the entire film is him trying to repair what he broke or what happened at the beginning. Remember the movie Taken? I have a special set of skills, right? Like he's gonna repair himself what fell apart. But man, I'm so glad. God's so unfair. He doesn't give me what I deserve when I blow it. That's the mercy of God. Listen, he doesn't bless us all the same. He'll bless you with five and you with two and you with one. They're all still a blessing. Hey, you know what? Anybody want to shake that one talent guy and go, it's 22 years of salary, dummy. Like, what is wrong with you, greedy? He doesn't repay us like others would repay us. Man, he's actually terribly unfair, and it's to your advantage that he's that way. Now, unfairness becomes this negative idea, but I think it's actually part of the glorious reality of who God is towards us. Now, the rest of the sermon, I'm just going to tell you, is nerdy. We're going to get nerdy just a little bit. Everybody say, I can take it. No, you got to say it like a nerd. Say, I can take it. It's going to get a little dense, but then we're going to come out together, and it's going to make great sense for us. So watch this, Romans chapter 5, starting verse 12. Just as sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death came through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. In other words, before Moses brings us the law, the Ten Commandments, and all the Levitical priesthood laws, and all the dietary laws, and all those laws came in, before all of that named our sin, we were sinners. Before we called it murder, we were murderers. Before we called it adultery in Exodus 20, we were adulterers. We're sinners, right? So sin entered the world, death through sin. Sin spread to all men because all have sinned. And look, sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there's no law. In other words, you can't punish what you haven't named, right? So sin can't be counted where it's not law. Yet death reigned, circle that, death reigned from Adam to Moses, from the beginning all the way to the law, from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam. Anybody want to look at Adam and go, what'd you do that for, man? Like for real fruit? You did it all over fruit? Bro, why are you a vegan? What is wrong with you? Like, why are you deferring? All the vegans are mad at me, but you're just not strong enough to do anything about it. You know what I'm saying? So like... Credit where credit's due. I stole that joke from Johnny W. All right. Look, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was the type of the one to come. Here's the reality of the first part of this text. Our condition of sin, not just our behaviors of sin. Here's one of the things I think we've just missed out on in the church world. We've preached a gospel of works righteousness, and we've preached a message of behavior modification for so long. Did anybody else know what I'm talking about? We have preached, do this and don't do that. We've made Christianity about do's and don'ts for so long that honestly, like, whether we omit the wrong things or commit the wrong things or whatever, like, we've gotten away from actually the heart of the gospel. Listen, sin is actually our condition, not just what we do because of that condition. Let me show you how I mean. Sin's an interesting topic, right? I mean, when's the last time you looked forward to a good old-fashioned sermon on sin? It's funny, somebody told me this week, they're like, I like a good old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone sermon. Okay. You probably love your vegetables too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand that. But sin has an immediate negative connotation, doesn't it? I mean, how many of you think of sin and think of glory and wonderful things, right? Sin is immediately negative, and it's interesting, something that we don't really look forward to discussing or talking about. But I'm telling you, truthfully, maybe some of us come from church backgrounds that have been loaded with like sermons on sin and what you're not allowed to do. And let me just tell you something. I truly believe that we shouldn't be living in habitual sin. Okay, let me just clarify the air in case some of you are thinking, here comes this liberal preacher, you know, saying do whatever. No, I believe the Bible, which clearly tells us to live for God, not live for our flesh. Live as if God's real, not as if we're Christian atheists. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't live in unrighteousness trying to force God to be forgiving. So I'm clearly conservative when it comes to matters of sin. But I'm not going to preach sermons where I just lay out a list of your sins. Because it's pretty rare in the scripture that God does that. But watch, there's a bunch of different ways to understand sin. How many of you could put a list together of sins? No one. Okay, the first one's called lying. It's like one of the top 10, you know what I'm saying? Like, how many of you could put a list together of sins, right? Like lust, stealing, cheating, lying, being a UK fan. Like, there's a lot of things, right? Florida Gators. God hates Florida Gators. Alabama, Roll Tide off a cliff. I don't care about any of that. There's a lot of things we could list as sins, right? And any of us that have been conditioned around the church world know how to do that. But what if sin was actually different than that list of stuff? Watch. Throughout the Bible, there's this theology of sin, actually. There's this hermeneutic of sin throughout Scripture. And the Bible talks about it in so many different ways. Now, listen to what I'm saying. In the Old Testament or in the New, the Bible describes sin as actions pertaining to worldliness, you know, the world instead of the body of Christ. Or the Bible describes sin as living according to our flesh, our impulses, our nature, our own predispositions, living according to that and living that out is according to the flesh, not according to the Spirit. In the book of Romans, we'll see that later. The Bible calls sin following the temptations of Satan. Literally, following the temptations of the devil, right? There are some in the Bible, there are sins of commission. Like you commit these things and it's sin. Murder, adultery, you know, whatever. There are sins of omission. Like if I don't do these things, I'm in sin, right? The Bible calls us to prayer and fasting and giving and generosity and serving. And if we omit those things out of our lives, it's sin. So there's sins of committing, commission. There's sins of omitting or omission. The Bible talks about sin as missing the mark, right? There's one place in the Old Testament where it talks about sin as missing the mark or being disobedient to God. Sin is described as being or acting wickedly, right? Sin is described as rebellion against God, and sin is described as rebellion against authority. The Old Testament talks about sin as going astray or wandering away from God, out of relationship with God. So as you see, I'm way far away from some list of behaviors. Have you noticed that so far? I haven't even talked about those things, right? The New Testament talks about sin as being morally bad, evil, godless, guilty towards God's commands, right? Disobedience, Galatians talks about the fruit of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. engaging in unrighteous conduct. There's where we have some of our lists. Iniquity, the New Testament talks about ignorant or misdirected worship, where we worship stuff or status or money or prestige, right? Or the roll tide, we worship the wrong stuff. The New Testament talks about sin as going astray, being a hypocrite. But in the church world, we've kind of talked about sin as like drinking, and smoking, and cussing. And it's always in an accent. I don't know why. I feel like it is. But I want to present to you today that sin is not about behaving. Sin is about being. And the text is going to lead us there. Sin is more about the condition of who you are versus the outcome of what you do. It's first a matter of who you are and how you are versus what you do. Like I'm an American man. So I act like an American man, but you don't describe me that way based on my actions. You see my actions and you know what I am and how I am. Does that make sense? So we're always the result and the product of what we are first. And sin is more about the condition of who you are versus the fleshing out of what you do. Can I say it like this? Jesus did not die for your sins. Jesus died for sin. Because you're a sinner. And you're fallen, and I'm fallen, and we're sinners by birth, really. So Jesus didn't die because of your mouth. Jesus didn't die because you lust. Jesus didn't die because you lied. Jesus died because your heart is far from him, which produces all those behaviors. But if Jesus died simply for your behavior, listen, look at me. If Jesus died only for your behavior, every time you mess up, he's got to go die again. If Jesus died for your sinful behaviors, every time you screw up again, he's got to get back on the cross. He didn't die for your behaviors. He died for your nature. He died for your condition as sin. Now, this is heavy stuff. I told you we're going to nerd out for a second, but watch out. It says it in verse 12 again. Go back to the text. Just as sin came into the world. Notice Paul doesn't say sins. Behaviors, like bad things came into the world. He said sin, the nature of the condition of fallenness has come in through the world through one man and death has come through sin. That's another term that we've got to clarify. What's he talking about? Death. Remember in Genesis, God says to Adam, when you eat of this fruit, you'll surely die. But he didn't physically die right there. He didn't take a bite and then kill over dead with two X's over his eyes. You know what I'm saying? How did he die? He was divorced from relationship with God. He died in separation of intimacy to the Father, right? So when you sin, when you disobey, when you dishonor, when you step out of the directive of God, you die, you come out of relationship with God, and death is the result of sin. Now watch this. Just as sin came into the world through one man, that's Adam, thanks fella, and then death came through sin, and then death spread to who? All. Raise your hand, all people. That's you. That means death is your reality and sin is your nature. By the way, part of the reason Paul is doing this is he's again making the case that the antidote is for all. If the sin is for all, is against all, then the grace is for all. Has to be, right? He's going to say that here in just a minute. So death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law. Before we named it, before we called it adultery and lying and stealing, there it was just who we were. But sin's not counted where there's no law. Now, death reigned from Adam. What's that death? Separation, farness from God. That's what reigns in our world. Can I just say it like this? If you're not in Christ, you're dead to God. Sin reigns in us by birth, by Adam. Anybody else want to shake Adam and go, why'd you do it, man? But I'm convinced if Adam didn't, the next guy would have. Somebody along the line would have given in to temptation. And listen, we're born into this because Adam, our first man, our first father, sinned. And sin created separation. Why do we have suffering? Why do we have pain? Why do we have all these other world religions? Why do we have despair and death and physical dying? Because death reigns because of sin. Now watch. It's over all of us, even those whose sinning was not like the transgressions of Adam. I just want to go, Adam, I didn't eat that. I didn't eat that fruit. Why do I have to pay the penalty of Adam's decision? Because it's over all of us. He was a type of the one who was to come. Now watch. Here's the good news. Jesus did not die just to forgive your behavior. He actually died to change and repair your nature, which will wreck your behaviors. We're born sinners because of Adam's sin. You want proof that we're born with original sin? Hang out with a 2-year-old. you will see original sin fleshing itself out. It's because we're born into this. We're born with a disposition and a predisposition. And listen, every one of us fleshes out our own sin nature differently, don't we? Right? The older we get, we start flexing, and some people do it in ways that some of us find repulsive, and we go, I would never do that. Well, they're just fleshing out their own death in another way than you do. But guess what? You do it in a way that they're like, that's terrible and repugnant too, and I would never do that. We start playing the fairness game. At least I didn't do that. Well, at least I didn't do that. Hey, Lazarus and the rich man. Hey, at least I wasn't like that guy. We are all sinners without Christ. And if we stay in our sin, your nature, your nurture, your predisposition, how you started out, if you're not born again, death reigns over you. That's hard, isn't it? Who's excited about this sin sermon now? But Jesus didn't die just to correct your behavior. He died to wreck your life, to change your nature. The book of Corinthians, Paul the Apostle writes it like this. He said, I am now a new creation. The old man is gone. Behold, I'm becoming made new. Jesus says to Nicodemus in the middle of the night, John chapter 3. Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the middle of the night. He's a teacher of the law. He's an expert in all the law and all the commandments. And he comes to Jesus and he says, what must I do to be saved? Isn't that the ultimate question of mankind? What must I do? Jesus says, you can't do anything. But he says, you must be born again by the Spirit. God will do it. You don't have to. God will do it. You don't have to. He'll change your life. He'll wreck your life. He'll change your behavior. You know how to get your behaviors right? Get saved. You know how to not be a racist anymore? Get saved. You know how to not be greedy anymore? Get saved. You know how to not be an adulterer, womanizer, pagan? Get saved. Get close to Jesus. Let him wreck your behavior. Your behaviors are a product of your nature. And if your nature's not been transformed, you're still living in death. You're still living in sin. You've not been transformed. Get saved. We've all fallen. Death spread to all men because all have sinned, because Adam sinned. Thanks a lot, Adam. And sin and death reign even now. Now, where am I going with this? Because right now it's not very encouraging. Well, it's what I call this unfair exchange. Remember I started with saying God's not fair? I mean, what a glorious part of his nature that he's not fair. God's not fair. Verse 15. But the, say it with me, free gift. Let me just say, in the next three verses, Paul is going to say free gift five times. You ever repeat yourself? You ever repeat yourself? Do you ever repeat yourself? Do you ever repeat yourself? Hey, do you ever repeat yourself? What are you trying to do? Drive it home. Drive it home. It's free. It's free. It's free. It's free. It's a free gift. It's for you. It's for you. It's for you. Take it. Take it. Take it. It's free. Paul is like using repetition very smartly. He knows like he's limited on word count. You know what I'm saying? It's like 140 characters. Twitter joke. All right. The free gift is not like the trespass of sin. Watch. Why? For if many died through one man's trespasses, many more will have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of God of that man Jesus abounded for many. See, the consequence of Adam was very limited, but the consequence of Jesus is wide open. It's not fair. Like fairness would say, Adam, go back and fix it. Adam, get up, go back in that garden, plant me another life tree. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. Plant me a new one, Adam. And don't you dare touch that fruit. Fix it, Adam. That's fairness. Here, hey, listen. God says, you can't fix it. None of humanity can fix it. You can't earn it. You can't rewrite it. You can't replant it. You can't do enough good. You'll never obey your way enough to fix what fallenness and death has done to you. So God says, I'll fix it. And then he says, I'll give it away for nothing. Free gift. Free gift. Go to the next few verses. And the free gift is not like the result of the one man's sin. That cost us everything. It costs us every day. Every time we deal with sickness and disease, I met with a guy. Am I yelling? I'm yelling. I met with a guy in the lobby last service, and he said, Pastor, my father just had a heart attack. He's in a medically induced coma. Can we pray for him? You know what that is? That's the cost of sin and death. We're still paying for that. We still have fleshly issues and body problems. The cost of that is great. But look, the free gift is not like the cost or the result of that man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. And we still deal with that, right? Guilt and shame and condemnation. But the free gift, fourth time, following many trespasses brought justification. The free gift of God. Look, we earned our way into death, but Jesus earned our way into life. And it's free. Just take it. Take it. What are you arguing for? What are you trying to figure out? I'm always puzzled when people go, I wasn't raised that way. I'm not sure I got it all figured out. I'm not sure I believe it. I'm not sure I understand it all. I don't understand it all. Frankly, I don't want to understand it all. God's way too big for me to get my head around all of him. I just know when I see free stuff like pie and cheesecake bites, come on, somebody. Y'all know I'm talking about them little Sam's Club cheesecake bites. Ooh, Lord Jesus, help a brother. Free on a table. I don't go asking, like, what do I have to do for these? Is there a bowl to chip in for them? You put them out, I'm gonna take them. Can I just say, if you ever invite me to your home for dinner, have some cheesecake bites. For God's sake, have some cheesecake bites. I mean, if I had a $100 bill, Brandon, I had a $100 bill right here, and I go, here, man, take this. Wouldn't we go, what's the catch? Wouldn't we? Or we'd think it's like the Godfather. One day I'm gonna call on you. One day I'm gonna call for you for a very special service. We can't imagine free gifts without strings. Church, there are no strings attached. It's free. Just take it. And here's what Jesus says. Take it. When you screw up, I got more. Take it. When you mess up, I got more. Take it. You don't understand it? I got more. Take it. There's more. It's free. It's free. It's free. Take it. It's the free. You earned your way into this. I earned your way out of this. Take it. You don't even have to pay me for it. You don't have to do anything with it. Just take it. Accept it by faith. Accept it by faith. Abraham believed God and was called righteous. We believe in Jesus and we're called righteous. Does it cost us anything? No. It's free. It cost him everything. He paid for it. He took the punishment. He took the penalty. He paid the price. And then he gives it away for nothing. What's there to figure out about that? You know what I think our main problem is with following Jesus? It's not figuring him out. It's surrendering our will. Our issue is not, I don't know if I believe it. Who doesn't believe in free stuff? Anybody else been guilty of Googling how to get free stuff? I have. I want to do one of them survey jobs where they send me like colognes and DVDs. I just want to do stuff to get free stuff. I just like getting free stuff. I'm a gifts guy is one of my love languages. So I just love getting free stuff. But none of us try to figure out free stuff. We try to figure out what we got to do to get it. And we've been conditioned as the church that it's free as long as you don't mess up. It's free as long as you don't sin. Now don't you do that no more. Can I just say, if our salvation is contingent on the fragility of our will, Christ is weak. He's so strong, and it's so good, and it's so free, and it's so paid for. Now watch, Jesus didn't die for your behaviors. He died for your nature, which he wants to turn upside down and change. If you're dealing with habitual sin, get saved. Take the gift of righteousness. If you're dealing with, I'm locked in a lifestyle or a relationship way or a sexual orientation way or whatever, I'm locked in this relationship that's out of God's will, or I can't stop lying, I can't stop, you know, with my mouth, or I can't stop being greedy and stealing, get saved. It's free. It's not like the trespass. It doesn't come with strings. It doesn't come with consequence. Talk about amazing grace. It's totally unfair. It is totally unfair. Remember the text last week? While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Anybody getting lit up by this text besides me? I'm just so overwhelmed by the depth of this text. I told you it's nerdy, but it's good, isn't it? Look at this, verse 17. It's like he's repeating himself now. Again, free gift, free gift, free gift, free gift. Remember in the last verse he said, it's not like the result of the one man's sin, judgment with his sin and then righteousness through this other guy's action. Then he says, because of one man's trespass, death reigned. through that one man. It's like he's repeating himself again, like, you got to get this. Sin is our condition. Death is reigning over us because of sin. Watch this. What reigns when we're in sin? Okay, what is that? Distance from God, lack of intimacy with God, sickness, despair, calamity, physical death. Watch this. Death reigned when we stay in sin. But much more, those who receive the abundance of grace, watch this. Those who have received the abundance of grace, can you just wave at me? That's you now. You're named in this text. Watch. Because of Adam's sin, death has reigned. Death has reigned. Outside of us, apart from us, it's not us. But watch this. But through those who receive the abundance of grace, that's us, and the free gift of righteousness, those will reign in life. Death reigned before Jesus over you. Now you reign over death because of Jesus. You reign over sin because of Jesus. Look, much more, the abundance of grace, those who've received it, and the free gift of righteousness, you reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. You are more than a conqueror. You have the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. I can come boldly to the throne of grace and mercy to reign in life, to receive grace and mercy in my time of need. Why? Because I am found in Christ. And my nature has been turned upside down. You know how God will change your behaviors? When we start reigning in life in Jesus. We got to get our theology right about this stuff, guys. I'm telling you. We've been conditioned to think it's all about get your behavior right and hang on till heaven. No. Give your life to God and let him wreck your life. That's why we say anybody's welcome at Life Point Church to come be wrecked by Jesus. Anybody's welcome. I don't care what you're doing, what you believe, what you're behaving like. It doesn't matter. Your race, economy, your gender, I don't care. Any of that stuff. You are welcome to come here and be wrecked by Jesus because that's why he came. Not to change your behavior, but to change your life, which will change your behavior. Man, what a mighty God we serve. So then finally, it's unfair. It's unfair. We've blown it all this time and God goes, I'll fix it and give it away for free. Anybody got kids that drive? Anybody got kids that drive that when they wreck, you go pay for their car to get fixed? See, I didn't have that mama. I had that mom was like, if you won't drive, you better buy a car. I had a car payment, $50 a week. And then when I wrecked, my mom's like, sorry for you. How's your bike? But we have a God who's way better than our parents. I love my mom. Tough love, toughened me up, you know what I'm saying? By the way, if your kid starts driving, don't buy them a new car. They're gonna break it. Make them pay for it, and their insurance, and their cell phone, and their food. But it's not fair. I know. Then just quote your pastor. Go, Pastor Mike says, fairness died in the garden. You can use me if you need to. But you know, the goodness of our good, good Father is we wrecked our cars, we wrecked our life, we wrecked everything, and he did all the repair. And that is good. And it's not fair. It's not fair that he would repair what we've broken. And he gives it away freely, and he keeps giving it out freely. And then comes the trade-off. So what if you traded reigning in death and reigning in sin to reigning in life with Jesus? What if we made that trade-off this week? What if looking unto Christ, we say, you know what? I'm tired of condemnation. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of death reigning over me. Anybody else tired of that besides me? Maybe because we've accepted a gospel of works instead of a gospel of grace, a gospel of hustle instead of a gospel of Jesus. What if we could say yes to Jesus and just believe this free gift and take it freely, 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 and then let God get a hold of your life and just wreck you? Look at verse 18. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men. Again, it sounds like he's repeating himself. As one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness, which is the cross, which we celebrate next week at Easter, leads to justification and life for who? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And all can have justification, all can have eternal life. If you believe that this gospel is only for some, you're arguing with the Apostle Paul in the heart of God. It's for all. This is why we preach. This is why we open new services. This is why we give up our seats to make room for other people. This is why we join the drink team to serve all who are coming. so that they can come and meet this glorious gospel and have righteousness that leads to justification and life for all men. As by the one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the Jesus' obedience, the many will be made righteous. That's the trade-off. Now the question is, how will you respond to that trade-off? Will you stay in sin and death, or will you let life reign in your mortal bodies? Will you let righteousness reign in you? Will you surrender all to this free gift of the gospel? And then look, yield your life to God. It's like Pastor Mark said this morning, our small groups, life groups pastor. He said, we become the dwelling place of God. We become the tabernacle where he resides and he dwells and he takes up residence in us, and he will wreck your life. He'll change your behavior. Final verse I want to give you and we'll close. I just want to ask you, how are you reigning? Let me ask you that. What reigns in your life? Is sin and death reigning over you, or are you reigning over life in Jesus? Now, don't take this to be some prosperity gospel TV preacher kind of message. I'm not talking about that kind of reigning in life where I'm just commanding Ferraris into my garage. That didn't rain in anyway because the insurance is high and the gas is expensive. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care about that. And grown men can't fit in those stupid things. Can I get an amen, my man? All my players down here. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about, are you reigning over death and sin? I told you about Jim a couple weeks ago, our seasoned saint. One of the guys that comes, he comes and serves 2 days a week in the office, and he comes always to pray. Sits right here in prayer every week, and he prays over every single card for you. He's 87, I think, and Jim had a procedure this week in his heart, pacemaker put in. And I called him the morning of, and he's like, I don't need any, you know. His lady friend drove him. It's pretty cute, honestly. Did I say that out loud? I probably just... We know what's up with you, Jim. She drove him and brought him home. And I called Jim at 9 o'clock that morning, and he says to me this. He goes, Pastor, I said, Jim, I called to pray with you. 87 going in for a pacemaker, opening his heart, you know, gonna put it on. He goes, Pastor, I have so much peace about this procedure. I said, you do? Because personally, I was a little nervous, right? I mean, I love this guy. I love him here. I can't imagine him not being here. And there's what he said to me. He goes, if I don't make it through this procedure, I'm gonna see Jesus face to face. And then he said, and if I do survive, I'm going to serve Jesus many more days. There's a guy who understands what it means to reign in life, whether I'm absent from the body or present with the Lord. If I die, I'm with him. If I live, I serve him. I'm going to reign in life because greater is he that's in me. Are you kidding? We've made Christianity all about sinning and not sinning. No, it's about reigning in life. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world, having victory over darkness because God has given you his spirit and his presence. Amen. The Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 1. He said, this is the message that we've heard from him, from God, and we proclaim to you. This is the message that God has given for us. That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's no darkness. There's no wickedness, no evil, no sin. There's no backdoor deals. There's no shadiness with God. And if we say we have fellowship with God, right? Isn't that what we say, Christians, right? If we say we have fellowship with God while we're walking in darkness, we're lying, and we're not practicing the truth. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, here now you're talking about behaviors. Nope, I'm talking about condition. We can say what we want to, we're blue in the face, but God knows our heart, and so do you. If we say we're saved, and we say we're Christians and Christ followers, but we're continuing to walk in darkness, it's actually not a matter of behavior, it's a matter of condition. Watch this. We're liars and we don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, we're part of the body, we're part of the family of God, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us, not from all sins, from sin. What can wash away my sin? Nature, essence, character, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So how are you reigning? How are you doing? Are you living by behavior and hustle? Or are you living close to Jesus? Doesn't it sound like Paul's kind of saying the same thing over and over again? I just want to invite you to accept the unfair offer of the free gift of God in Christ Jesus. And listen, some of us are church folks and we're like, I believe in Jesus. I'm saved. Great. Are you reigning? I was saved since I was 17. And I've had seasons where I understood this and I understood how to call upon God for salvation and integrity and character and to walk over, tread upon serpents and scorpions. Y'all remember that text, right, from Mark 16? But are you reigning? If you're living in unconfessed habitual sin, John says you're lying. So here's what we do. We evaluate our nature by the outcome of our activities, right? So how you doing? Are you living like and walking with God? Are you living like you're walking with God every day? And if not, let's just commit ourselves to doing that. Because that's what God's called us to reign in life because of righteousness that comes only through faith in Jesus. Can God have your heart? Can he have your life? Can he have your hands? Can he have your hustle? And can he help you reign in him with it? Amen, everybody? Come on, let's stand together and pray. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You are welcome to just wreck our hearts and lives. Hey, let me just ask, nobody leave while I'm praying. Come on, we're gonna lead folks in a moment of prayer of submission to Jesus. Our prayer team is going to come right now and give you opportunity. If you need prayer, come on, fight the crowd at the end of the service and let's pray. But we're going to put our faith and hope in Jesus, what he's done for us. Church, look at me. It's free. There's no strings attached. You don't have to do anything. You just take it by faith. Just take it by faith. No wonder they call him the Savior. Hosanna in the highest. Savior, Son of David, God of the universe, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. God, would you transform our hearts today? Can we open our hands to the Lord this morning? God, would you transform our hearts today? Draw us near to Jesus. Draw us near to the freedom that comes in the grace of God. Draw us into this free gift of salvation. And we receive it by faith. We accept it, Lord God. We repent of our hustle. We repent of trying to earn our way to you. We accept that you've earned your way to us. We receive it by faith. We thank you, Lord God, that sin does not need to be our nature any longer. Your word says that we are now the righteousness of God because of Jesus. Lord, change our nature right now. Quicken our spirits, quicken our mortal bodies to submit to Christ. Change our nature. Transform us by the power of God in Jesus' name. We receive it by faith. We believe you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Can everybody just pray this with me? Some of you are going, I'm not sure I got this all figured out yet. None of us do. But can you just surrender all to Jesus? Everybody pray this with me. Say, God.
God.
Say, I believe.
I believe.
In Jesus.
In Jesus.
That he died for my sin.
He died for my sin.
To change my life.
To change my life.
To handle me.
To handle me.
Forever. Now say this, say, I'm all in.
I'm all in.
I confess my sin.
I confess my sin.
I receive your forgiveness.
I receive your forgiveness.
I accept your salvation.
I accept your salvation.
And I will live for you
and I will live
for the rest of my life.
The rest of my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
Come on, let's worship the Lord and give him praise today. Thank you, Lord, for changing lives. Thank you, God, for changing our lives.